The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I'm waiting for someone to point out a good reason to me of why Deshaun Watson should stay.
You take the bad and you turn it into positive.
Deshaun Watson needs to go.
It was one of your years.
Deshaun Watson officially has requested a trade from the Houston Texans. Houston, you have a problem.
Well, here we go. The dominoes starting to line up for a bunch of quarterback switcheroos. Boy, is this fun. We welcome you to NFL Live, and it's not just Deshaun Watson who could be on the move. Later, why one person here thinks Matthew Stafford to the Cowboys makes a little more sense than you think. Marcus Spears, Dan Orlovsky is here, as well as Adam Schefter for the next hour. Let's get right to it with Adam, because we begin with a day that the Texans hired a new head coach. Deshaun Watson made his desire to get out of Houston official on this same day. So, Adam, what more can you tell us about his trade demand?
Laura, we've talked all about this for weeks now, and little did we know that the trade request already had been officially in with the Houston Texans. They've known what we've speculated on for weeks, that Deshaun Watson is done with the Houston Texans organization. And this now becomes a game of chicken, because the Houston Texans don't want to trade him. They don't want to move on from him at this point in time. Deshaun Watson doesn't want to go back there. So now who stands tougher and who gives in first? Does Deshaun Watson go back to the Houston Texans? I don't think so, knowing how principled he is and knowing how he feels right now. Do the Houston Texans say at some point in time, look, we're not going to be able to bring him back. Let's salvage this while we can, rather than turn this into a situation that hovers over the franchise through the draft, through the offseason, into the season. That's something nobody wants. But the game of chicken, to me, officially is on, and I think Deshaun Watson is determined not to play for the Houston Texans ever again.
Yeah, and at some point, you got to think the Houston Texans don't want to have somebody there, especially a star player like Deshaun Watson, who doesn't want to be there. So what leverage, if any, do the Texans actually have in this situation, or game of chicken, as you called it?
Well, we mentioned the fines, right? If he doesn't show up for mini camps, they could fine him close to $100,000. If he doesn't show up for training camp, they could fine him $50,000 per day. If he threatens to retire, they could ask him to repay under the terms of his contract over $21 million. But here is, Laura, the Texans' dilemma. They can essentially acquiesce to Deshaun Watson's wishes, get back a haul in return for what is arguably a transcendent young talent in this game, and set up their franchise for future seasons, but obviously alienate and upset the fans that they traded away this great quarterback, or they can basically hold on to him and have this hang over them. They could let him go and send a message to other people that, hey, you can talk your way out of town, even though Deshaun Watson is Deshaun Watson and he's a unique case, or they can hold on to him and have this controversy follow this team the way controversy has followed it in previous weeks. There's really no great solution. They have to pick the best of the worst case scenarios.
Adam Schefter with us all show long. We will get into the Texans hiring a new head coach and David Culley a little bit later on in the show. But Dan, you heard what Adam just said there, and you've had some time to think about this a little bit. When it comes to Deshaun Watson forcing his way out and the Texans' leverage or lack thereof, what are your thoughts?
Texans have no choice. It's done. It's over with. They can't. Players talk in the NFL. There's the saying in football, don't make a bad play worse. This is a bad situation. Don't make it worse, Houston. Because here's the thing. If they're going to decide to try and play hardball with Deshaun Watson, better be careful, because Deshaun Watson obviously feels a certain way for a certain reason. I mean, this is the same player that through years of Bill O'Brien and us sitting there going, Bill O'Brien's the wrong coach for Deshaun Watson. He doesn't protect him. He's handling him poorly. Deshaun Watson would stand up there at podiums and be like, no, Bill O'Brien's the right coach. I love Coach O'Brien. This is not a coaching thing. This is not being upset with the way you're being handled on the football field. This is a culture problem in Houston. And Houston's got to ask, you've already alienated him. You've alienated your fan base. The fan base has already chosen Deshaun Watson. And players talk in the NFL. I promise you, players have already called their agents, who are upcoming free agents, and said, don't send me to Houston. Don't care what they say. I am not going to Houston because of the way that they've handled their prime player. Now, Deshaun Watson, I mean, we're talking about a guy that general managers literally kill themselves on the road for. Scouts will kill themselves to find that kind of quarterback, that kind of person. And so the reality is some team is going to win one of the biggest prizes in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, I love that last part you said, Dan, about the what the GMs would do, because you have to build equity in order to do a move like this if you're Deshaun Watson. And it's not just about right. your performance on the field. Your reputation off the field right. has to precede you as well when you want to pull a power move like this. And that's what's been so impressive about how Deshaun Watson has been about this. Like, I told y'all what I needed. I told y'all the things that I wanted to do, committed, gave all I had, all of the effort, all of the changes that was made above my head. I roll with it. Even in this particular year when you trade away DeAndre Hopkins and you leave me with the guys, and I don't want to cast any aspersions on Steals and all of the receivers that he had, because he still led the league in passing. But Deshaun Watson has built equity beyond Houston in order to do this. Right. And now the fundamental problem is Deshaun Watson and the owner. So it's not coaching, general manager, players on the roster. It's between Deshaun Watson, Calvin McNair, and Jack Easterby. And that's the reason that this won't work. He has to get out. They should let him go and get a haul.
Yeah, Adam, on this show, Mina Kimes has said that if Deshaun Watson would be traded, which, of course, now we see that he's officially asked for that, it would be one of the biggest trades or the biggest we've ever seen in the NFL. Do you have any sense of what a package might even look like to try and get Deshaun Watson?
It would be as big as you could imagine it to be, because essentially, I think there are maybe 5, 6, 7 teams in the league that would not be interested in acquiring Deshaun Watson. So there are and would be a minimum of 25 teams that would be interested in acquiring. So if I'm the Houston Texans and I'm in the situation that I'm in, I send out a group email to each of the 32 teams and I say, make your best offer. And I'd have all the offers sitting there in front of me. And I know Deshaun Watson has got a no-trade clause in his contract, but let me be very clear about this. I think Deshaun Watson is going to be open about where he's traded to. I don't think he's going to veto too many teams. There's one team I think he would veto, the Houston Texans. Doesn't want to go back there. He wants to go anywhere other than Houston. And so if you're the Texans, open it up to the bidding, get the biggest offer, make the deal.
Yeah, I mean, if you're these NFL teams that Shefty's referencing, you can't be like the dudes on the MTV's The Challenge last night that just decided to not show up and compete. Like, this has got to become a competition for these owners. Like, who's going to step up and throw the biggest punch? And here's the thing, it's got to happen quickly. If you're the Houston Texans, you have this asset that you wanted to get a championship with. That's not happening. You better replace a lot of pieces on your football team because of them with the draft picks that you're going to acquire. And it has to happen quickly because, like, the reality is you want it to happen before Matthew Stafford does, because once Matthew Stafford goes, well, there's one less team that's going to be in the mix. And the Houston Texans' job right now is to try to get as much as they can. It's got to happen before free agency. It's got to happen, obviously, before the draft. So this has to happen quickly for that organization.
I want to speak. Go ahead.
They're not there yet. They're not ready to move on. They're not ready to make that trade. The Detroit Lions and Matthew Stafford already had the agreement. He's going to be traded.
Right.
Those two sides have started walking down that path. The Texans aren't there yet with Deshaun Watson. You could think they're going to get there. They're not there yet.
Yeah, we were going to get into that later on in the show, guys. So, Dan, just hold it for a little longer. I also want to speak directly to the people out there that are trying to cast some sort of dispersion on Deshaun Watson. He has given so much to that Houston community, and that's been consistently part of the type of leader and the type of player that he has been and will be wherever he ends up.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. Super Bowl 55, just 10 days away in Tampa. The Bucs were out of practice today. Of course, Raymond James Stadium is just a hop, skip, and a jump away. That's where they'll attempt to beat the Chiefs and win it all. And it's always in their view. Head coach Bruce Arians was asked today about their pursuit of Brady last winter and how all that went down. Take a listen.
Yeah, I mean, you can't hit a home run if you're going to swing for one. You can't do anything special in life sitting on a fence. The question back then was, if there was a quarterback that was a free agent, who would you want? And yeah, of course it was Tom Brady, but not thinking he'd become a free agent. But once he did, it was a pursuit that we wanted to make and knew he had some interest. So, but again, if that's how you live life, I don't know. You sit and live in a closet and try to be safe, or you go have some damn fun.
One thing that won't be fun, taking on this Chiefs pass rush. We've talked all season about how Brady does not perform well under pressure, and he might be in for a challenge. The Chiefs boast a 36% pressure rate. That's not only the highest rate by any team entering a Super Bowl since we started tracking pressures in 2009, but it's also the highest rate by any team in a single season in that span.
The most important thing about that is what Spags is deciding to do. That is a schemed up plan to take away something that the Buffalo Bills has done all season long. Quick, easy access throws. The worst thing that a quarterback can see is a big D tackle or a D lineman flash and the rest of the defense eyes being back, because it takes away that quick throw action. And actually it paid off for the Kansas City Chiefs later in that game on a Josh Allen throw that was tipped for an interception by Fenton, because everybody is playing with their eyes back. Extra guys in coverage on the underneath. Josh Allen has to pull the ball down or try to make a tough throw.
So we see the offensive mind of Dan O, and then we see the defensive prowess of the big Swagoo. Dueling tapes here on NFL Live. Hey, let's get to the Chargers. They introduced Brandon Staley as their head coach exactly a week ago, and Staley served as the Rams defensive coordinator in 2020, perhaps the best in the NFL. Before that, he served as an outside linebackers coach with the Broncos and Bears. He made quite a jump to the pros. He spent time with John Carroll at the D3 level and James Madison of the FCS before that. And look who's joining us now, Coach Staley himself. Coach, thank you so much for being with us. And listen, when our crew here on this show and a lot of other shows too were talking about this Chargers job, everyone felt like this was one of the best, if not the best, available. You got a young quarterback, you got a great defense. So of course, with that comes great expectations. What are your expectations for yourself and this team?
Well, it's good to be with you, Laura. Thanks for having me. Our expectations really is to create our own identity here with the Chargers and put the focus on our team, our organization, our players. And I think it's so important to establish, you know, your standard of excellence within your building. And I know, Laura, the most important thing for me right now is just creating the relationships within the building that are so vital to your success. And then once you get those relationships started, then you can get to the competition. And we want those two things to be at the hallmark of our program.
Yeah, Coach, your journey has been remarkable. I mean, just 5 years ago, you were a D3 defensive coordinator at John Carroll. You'd never worked for an NFL team. You know, then you end up with 4 seasons in the NFL, one as a defensive coordinator. How has that path prepared you for this?
Yeah, Laura, on paper, I think everyone does what you just did. They look down and sometimes, you know, they just, you know, people shake their heads. But I think all those experiences kind of uniquely shaped me to be exactly where I am today. I was able to grow, develop. I feel like I had a dual education going, but I thought that being at some of those smaller schools at those lower levels, I was really able to learn a lot about myself as a leader, as a teacher, as a coach. When I finally got my opportunity to coach in the NFL, I was ready for it. You know, I felt really prepared. And I was able to thrive, and I was fortunate to be with some really good teams. And I think it's, you know, shaped me for this opportunity with the Chargers.
Yeah, to be clear, I bring that up because I think it's awesome. So maybe other people don't look at it the way I do, but I'm with you on that. All right, have you spoken to your quarterback yet?
I have, you know, one of the highlights, you know, on my way back from, you know, earning the opportunity on my way back home up north, you know, I was able to reach out to him on the phone, and I just wanted him to hear my voice. And, you know, it's important to me to start those relationships as quickly as possible. And so I was able to talk to him then. And then on the way down to the press conference, my wife, Amy, and I were able to FaceTime him and, you know, just get that thing started. And so, you know, in the week since, it's been awesome to hear his teammates talk about him. And I think that that's why it makes it so much even more exciting to coach him.
Have you let yourself have that moment of, wow, I'm a head coach in the NFL?
To be truthful, Laura, no. My wife wishes that were the case, but that's not the role. You know, when you become a head coach, there is no time to, you know, have this, you know, celebratory sort of period. You know, you got to get right at it, Laura, because this league is so competitive.
Yeah, I figured that you would answer that question that way, which is exactly why you have the job that you do. Congratulations, Coach Staley, on this job, and we can't wait to watch you in your future ahead with the Chargers.
Thank you, Laura. So good to meet you.
New on NFL Live, this from Kansas City Star reporter Herbie Teope. He asked Andy Reid today on his reaction to Eric Bieniemy getting passed over again, as now we've seen all the head coaching vacancies be filled. He said, look, he's glad to have Bieniemy back, but also not glad. So he points out, Reid says he was really hoping Bieniemy would get hired as a head coach this coaching cycle. Instead, of course, he'll be part of the Chiefs' attempt to hold on to their Super Bowl title.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back to our top story today. The Texans announced a head coach hire in David Culley, and Deshaun Watson did what many NFL fans, especially fans of teams other than the Texans, expected and hoped for. He officially requested a trade. Let's bring in Adam Schefter with all the latest. Adam, what more can you tell us?
Well, here's the interesting part, Laura. Teams have actually called the Houston Texans to inquire about Deshaun Watson, and so teams have had more contact with the Texans than they've had with Deshaun Watson himself. He has not spoken with team officials. They've reached out, but he has not responded to their request. So clearly, he's taking a page from the Khalil Mack playbook. You'll remember when John Gruden took over as head coach of the Raiders, could not and did not reach Khalil Mack before they wound up trading him to the Chicago Bears. Deshaun Watson is not interested in speaking with people from Houston. He's made his voice known. He's made his intentions clear. He wants to be traded. And obviously, he wants to move on to a new franchise. Think he's open to a lot of different franchises. We'll see where he decides to wind up. We'll see whether Houston's willing to trade him. But I think Houston right now is not of the mind to deal Deshaun Watson. It's not looking to move him the way that the Detroit Lions will be looking to trade Matthew Stafford in this season of endless quarterback movement. And so there is something of a standoff at this particular time as Houston tries to feel out the situation. I think the Texans were hoping that the hire of their new head coach, in this case, David Culley, would be enough to soften the stance of Deshaun Watson. But Deshaun Watson doesn't feel this way over David Culley, nor the Texans' new general manager, Nick Caserio. These are feelings that have been in place that are reflective of how he feels about ownership and the organization, and he wants out.
Yeah, to your point, it wouldn't have mattered who they hired. And also, to a point that you made earlier in the show, it makes it even more important that whomever is going to try and get Deshaun Watson is going to have to put up all kinds of capital to get him over to their team. This is quite a rare situation, by the way. According to Elias, only one quarterback in NFL history has ever changed teams after making three straight Pro Bowls. So, Marcus, you got any guesses about who this could be?
Oh, wait. I was thinking about this. Joe Montana?
You were so nervous. It's actually Warren Moon. He was traded to the Vikings in 1994.
From the Oilers.
Yes, but at the age of 37. So, yeah, sorry, Marcus. Close, but really not close at all. Deshaun Watson is not the only QB who could be on the move in the coming days.
I'm way up. Stafford, he's got it.
Stafford into the end zone.
Matthew Stafford is not going to be back in Detroit next season.
What did their trade partners really look like?
The Saints are ripe for Matt Stafford.
The Colts as a likely destination.
San Francisco is a home run fit for him.
But how about Washington?
You can upgrade your quarterback position with Matthew Stafford.
Conversations of trading Matthew Stafford are underway.
Adam, I'm not sure people realize how quickly something could happen with Stafford. Lay this out for us.
Well, listen, the Detroit Lions could agree to a trade today. It can't be formalized and processed until the new league year begins in the middle of March. But yes, they're talking to teams, and when they feel like they have a deal that they're comfortable with, they will reach an agreement with a team to trade Matthew Stafford elsewhere. That could happen by the Super Bowl. That wouldn't be a shock if it happened. We remember the Kansas City Chiefs trading Alex Smith to Washington Super Bowl week. So, again, could that happen next week? It's possible. It's not out of the question. The Lions already are having conversations regarding Matthew Stafford, and there is a tremendous amount of interest in him around the league.
Yeah, it's really interesting because with all of these quarterback stories kind of hanging in the balance, you feel like Stafford's one of the first that needs to happen for other things to get sorted out. Let's get to this headline from our Cowboys reporter Todd Archer, seen on ESPN.com. The Dallas Cowboys need to at least ask the Matthew Stafford question. So that's the headline from Todd Archer. Marcus, what do you think about this? Do the Dallas Cowboys need to look into Stafford?
Absolutely they do. Listen, we're about to go in the third cycle with the Cowboys and Dak Prescott and determining if they can get some sort of deal done. We know that a new piece of information is entered because of Dak's ankle and how that negotiation goes. We know that the franchise tag is $37 million. So that's a lot of incentive for Dallas to get a long-term deal done with Dak in order to save some money. But the bottom line is this. Matthew Stafford is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Like, and if you feel like there's some apprehension or there's some possibility that you won't get Dak re-signed, this is an obvious choice for the Dallas Cowboys, especially if they're going to return back a healthy offensive line and those weapons and what we've seen Matt Stafford do throughout his career with the Detroit Lions. An opportunity to win is what Matt Stafford is looking for. And it may not be the Dallas Cowboys as an opportunity to win, but that roster that he has from an offensive standpoint with Matt Stafford could look real, real good and be really dangerous for a lot of people in this league, especially in the NFC East, where we're trying to determine who the quarterback's going to be for the other three teams anyway. Hmm. So, yeah, I would pursue Matt Stafford if I'm the Dallas Cowboys and I'm in flux with Dak Prescott in his contract.
Again, guys, if anybody is talking about Deshaun Watson, they should be talking about Matthew Stafford. So, and anybody that wants to, like, have an idea of who Matthew is as a player, just listen to players talk about him instead of hating fans or whatnot. I'd say this. Everybody that's talked about this has only talked about it in regards to should the Cowboys look into Matthew Stafford. And I think about, like, okay, if you're the Detroit Lions, who have a new general manager from the Rams and a new head coach from the Saints, what are their viewpoints on Dak Prescott, right? Because at some point in this trade, Dak Prescott would have to be a part of it. And in the last six times that Dak Prescott has either played the Los Angeles Rams or the New Orleans Saints, he hasn't thrown for more than 260 yards. He hasn't thrown for more than two touchdowns. So we're just assuming that the Lions are going to sit there and go, okay, this is an equal trade. They might not view it that way. We have no idea what Brad Holmes, the new general manager, or Dan Campbell, the new head coach, think about Dak Prescott. Have they had the experience of standing on the sideline against him and being like, wow, this guy's balling. I just told you guys in the last six times over the last 3 years, hasn't thrown for more than 260. And so this might come to a point, if the Cowboys really want Matthew Stafford, they might have to try and sweeten the pot a little bit and add something more than just Dak Prescott going to Detroit.
You know, again, if you want to check out this article on ESPN.com by Todd Archer, it's really well done laying out the financial side of this, too. We're talking about here, too, Marcus, where the Cowboys would be given conservatively maybe $30 million in cap space difference between Stafford and Dak Prescott. I mean, what do you do with $30 million? Do you sign more weapons? Do you sign better defensive players? Right? That, I think, is a really important point in this whole discussion.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Absolutely. With the extra money, you focus on your defense, for sure. You think about the and maybe some offensive line help, especially after watching them be so depleted. And then the age and Travis Frederick obviously retiring. They probably want to build it inside out once again. But if you can get that money back based on not having Dak, yes, directly go to defense. All three of us watched them play defense this year. They need players. They not only need scheme, they need players as well. So, look, the bottom line is this. If they don't sign Dak, they save money. And if they get Matthew Stafford for less, the Dallas Cowboys are in a great position to be in the playoffs and have a chance to win if they do the right thing on the other side of the football, which is defense, and get players on that side fit with a scheme that they can execute at a high level.
Really fast, Dan.
Yeah, I think what you would see is if these two teams made this trade, it would become the NBA. This would be like a three-team trade, you know, where if Dallas sent Dak and something to Detroit and Matthew goes to Dallas, then Detroit flips Dak somewhere else and drafts a young quarterback and completely makes this rebuild. This could become a three-team trade situation.
Peyton. Peyton's Place is presented by Best Buy, now streaming exclusively on ESPN+. All right, how about this news? So Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers got off to a roaring start. They were 11-0, and then it all came crashing down. So looking forward to next year, Steelers president Art Rooney speaking today about Big Ben's chance for the future to return. He said, quote, "I think we've been upfront with Ben in letting him know that we couldn't have him back under the current contract. I think he understands we have some room to do there." Went on to say, "We'll have more conversations internally. We'll have more conversations with Ben, and we'll have to know what the cap number is to finalize some of those decisions." So then this from Ed Bouchette. More from Art Rooney. "I think we'd like to see Ben back for another year if that can work. But as we said, there's a lot of work to be done. If that can happen, there may need to be some decisions on both ends for that to happen." All right, so now to Ed Bouchette from The Athletic. He tweeted this saying he just talked to Big Ben and he said, "I don't care about my pay at all this year." He's willing to restructure a contract that has a $41 million cap hit for 2021 that includes $19 million in bonus salary that can be restructured. Of course, those numbers are what Ben already would have if they didn't restructure this. Let's bring in Adam here and the guys. But we start with you, Adam. You hear that from Rooney and then Big Ben's response. What do you think they're going to do here?
Well, listen, if they want Ben back, they're going to have to restructure that contract. They can't have the largest cap number of any player in the NFL at a time where the cap is expected to go down due to the pandemic. And so there are issues for this team to have to look at. And you take a look right there, Laura, at all the players and all the cap numbers that are sitting out there right now that are scheduled for the 2021 season. And again, there seems to be a little bit of a question with each of these players, oddly enough. Ben Roethlisberger, again, we want to see what happens with his contract, whether he wants to play. Matt Ryan, the Falcons could be drafting a player. Aaron Rodgers, you heard his comments this week. I'll let him speak for himself. Drew Brees, expected to retire. Carson Wentz, his future's up in the air there in Philadelphia, as is the case with Jared Goff. So a lot of questions around a lot of big-name quarterbacks and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they believe that Ben Roethlisberger is willing to come back and play, but there is work to be done between both sides to make that happen.
Yeah, Adam, it's really interesting. That's a peculiar list that all those guys really are in question of some sort, whether it's them questioning themselves or maybe other questions. So, Dan, what do you think about Big Ben, especially his willingness to restructure, right? He gets that he's going to have to do that.
Yeah, Laura, his salary drop would have to be as big as my ears look with these daggum earbuds in right now.
People think they're earrings, Dan.
Gosh, my ears look huge with these ears on. His salary drop would have to be pretty big now. I mean, and I've read that Big Ben has come out and said, like, he doesn't even care about his salary. Because the reality is they've got some pieces that they're going to have to re-sign. Like, does he want Juju back, and what's the cost going to be? We watched that offensive line really get decimated this year. So if Big Ben is going to come back for one more year, and think about it, I believe Drew Brees and Tom Brady both played for $25 million this year. It had to be relatively cheaper than those guys. So you're looking at Big Ben cutting his salary at least in half to try and come back and play to Pittsburgh, because they're going to have to pay some other pieces to make one final run. So if that's his willingness to do that, if he's willing to play for way less than market value of a starting quarterback, this makes a lot of sense for Pittsburgh. That being said, you cannot allow this to hinder your plans for the future, Pittsburgh. Like, you can't allow another year of Big Ben playing, not have a plan for who the next guy in Pittsburgh is going to be.
Listen, I understand the restructuring. I understand all of that. And I guess I'm about to drop what you call the atom bomb. Pittsburgh Steelers should be looking in the quarterback market for Matt Stafford, Deshaun Watson, everybody else. That's who they should be in the market for that as well, especially when you if you cut ties with Ben or you determine that you can't find somewhere to agree, because it's a lot of quarterbacks that you can get 3 to 5 years from of high level quarterback play that can at least set you up into a point where you can win games, have a chance to compete for a championship, and then later on down the line draft the guy that's going to take the helm for the next 10, 15 years, potentially, if you don't get Deshaun Watson, who can be that guy for the next 10 years. So I think Pittsburgh has more to think about than just trying to restructure Ben's contract with all of the movement that Shefty has told us and all of the possibilities that's of quarterbacks that's sitting out there. I'm like, why not start now as opposed to starting later and hinging your bets on the fact that you can draft a guy or get a guy in free agency next year when this thing is wide open like it is this year? It may be just time for the Pittsburgh Steelers to move on and try to find a quarterback that they can run with the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, you know, Dan, I remember this. When the Steelers were eliminated, remember when Big Ben was speaking about his future and he almost seemed a little bit uncertain himself? And I realize it was fresh off of a disappointing loss and an end to their season, but the reality is this team was 11-0 before they fell off that cliff. Yeah. Do you think that they are in position to, like, plug in one of these big-name quarterbacks like Marcus is talking about and really win to make that worth it?
Not next year, no. Like, if they went and got Deshaun Watson or Matthew Stafford, next year they're still not as good as Cleveland. They're still not as good as Baltimore. They're still not as good as Buffalo. They're still not as good as Kansas City. They're still not as good as Miami. So, like, the reality would be, does Big Ben hinder their future? That's where they got a balance right now. Is it worth having Big Ben come back for one more year to try and make a run, or is it time for them to move on, get young, and try and chase down those teams that have jumped them?
Okay, another quarterback story that we'll be following, and just another reminder too, Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner, both free agents. So another thing to keep in mind when it comes to their Steelers offense.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back here on NFL Live, Deshaun Watson, the big news today, demanded a trade, confirming the reports that he wanted to get out. So you got to think he pulled that off, opening up a big question, of course, about where he goes, but also what the Texans do at QB, especially with the knowledge that Watson has been so frustrated there, it's difficult to attract top-tier players. And that's one of the many challenges on the plate of new Texans head coach David Culley, who was hired less than 24 hours before Deshaun Watson officially requests to be traded. So according to Elias, Culley will be the oldest head coach in NFL history to make his debut at 66 next season, but he obviously brings plenty of experience. You see it there. Culley's worked within the Andy Reid coaching tree for more than 2 decades and first served in the NFL as wide receivers coach with the Bucs back in 1994. Let's talk about this Houston Texans organization as a whole. We've kind of hinted at this throughout the show, but Adam, where does the dysfunction in Houston stem from?
Well, this is layered. This is complicated. And this is multifaceted, Laura. And I think that we hear Deshaun Watson feeling the way he does, but I can tell you that he's not alone. There are other players that feel that. There are other employees that feel that. And this goes back in time. This is not something that just materialized overnight where somebody woke up on the wrong side of the bed and felt like, I want to get out of Houston. I think that there are a lot of people that feel that way. It's an opinion that I've heard shared from way more than a few people. And so I think it's a issue that involves ownership, the way the organization is run, the decisions that have been made, the way business has been conducted. And go ask the players who have been there, who have left and gone on to other places, and ask them how they feel about being there and some of the events that unfolded. And I think that some of this is beginning to surface. And guess what? I think in another way, we're only scratching the surface if you talk to the people who are involved in it and really know.
Yeah, Dan, you know, when you think about this from the standpoint of the former players even, some of them tweeted out when word started to get out that Deshaun Watson was maybe trying to work his way out of this. What are your thoughts?
Laura, this organization has made disastrous decision after disastrous decision since they drafted Deshaun Watson. I mean, this is not just a one-time event where Deshaun Watson is sitting there going, wow, this... I can't believe that. I mean, this is years since they have drafted him of making poor organizational decisions. And that's why, like, I get it that some people, and Shefty's one of them, who says, like, hey, the Houston Texans aren't there yet with giving in to Deshaun's request. Well, first of all, it's a demand. I mean, he's out, okay? And second of all, you want to hold Deshaun Watson hostage? You know, like, there's the saying in football, don't make a bad play worse. You're going to make a really bad decision worse because... Think about it, guys. Deshaun Watson is making a very somewhat like gutsy move here. He's not doing it because he doesn't know some stuff that's real. He's not doing it because he hasn't experienced some stuff that is not okay. And so the Texans better be very careful here, because you better be very careful holding a guy hostage like Deshaun Watson, whose agent is very powerful and they're very smart. This is a calculated move. It's been calculated for a while now. And the Texans have to be very careful with how they're handling it, because they've made a lot of disastrous decisions over the past 2 or 3 years, and this one could bury them. This one could lead the NFL to looking into their organization even more so than it should already be looking into it. Because, again, Deshaun making this decision, the NFL needs to look into this organization of exactly why he's making this decision, because it has very little to do, if anything, to do with what's happening on the field.
Yeah, it was told to me that they disenfranchised the franchise. That was how it was explained to me. But let me put you in my car, even though you don't eat this type of food. And Shefty, you know me, and you ride through the hood anytime. We get some grub. All right. Let me tell y'all how mad you have to be to leave H-Town. First, there's this place called Turkey Leg Hut. They got the best turkey legs ever known to man. It's the most popping restaurant in the country. Everybody visits there when they go to H-Town. Deshaun Watson and James Harden trying to leave H-Town, it's some serious stuff going on. There's this other place called Frenchie's. It's a chicken spot. It's some of the best chicken you'll ever eat in H-Town. Mm. If you don't know about Frenchie's, you're driving through Houston, go pop off at Frenchie's. If you want a chain restaurant, go to Papado's. Papado's in Houston popping right by the Galleria, which if you go in the Galleria at any time, it's great shopping and it's great things to look at in that mall. It has to be serious. Oh, the second thing, let me add this into the conversation, y'all. Y'all know that Texas, you don't pay state taxes. And Deshaun Watson just got $100-something million, and he wants out of there, potentially to go to New York, where half his damn contract gonna be gone before he even get paid. That's number seven. Reach. What's up, Shefty?
In New York, there's no turkey leg hut. No turkey leg hut in New York.
No Papados either.
What are we doing? So yes, this, look, I went way off what I was supposed to talk about. The bottom line is this: Deshaun Watson's fundamental issue is with the guy that owns the team. The guy that owns the team ain't selling the team. So Deshaun Watson said, my best bet is to get the hell out of here and go somewhere else where I feel appreciated, and not only that, where there is some stability. But to leave Turkey Leg Hut in H-Town is a hell of a decision.
I don't even think I feel appreciated. To not feel disrespected. Like, right, this like, that's what it's about. He's been disrespected.
Dan, I like that you think we can't hear you, so you just keep getting closer to the screen. Time for one more thing before we go here. I love it, the close-up with Dan. This is so awesome, you guys. Courtney Rivera, Ron Rivera's daughter, tweeted out, "Thank you for all the love and prayers. Just got off the phone with my mom and dad, leaving the hospital. Ron Rivera is officially cancer-free."
Yes.
You think about the year that he's had and getting cancer treatments while coaching this Washington football team and dealing with everything that's happened there. For him to be cancer-free, that's the great news that we all needed today. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks, everybody.